sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and you have tuned in to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And this segment of the show is brought to you by Zestra, a female enhancement product, which can have a tremendous effect on you and your sex life. It can have an effect of stimulating you in a way that perhaps is necessary and needed. You'll hear more about that a little bit later in the show. Today, I want to jump right into the secrets of relating. And I'm not speaking about all the secrets, but my guest today has some very powerful information about how to attract the one you want to love. How to, if you're sitting out there and you're thinking, this can never happen to me, I can never have what I want, I don't know how to get it, I don't really know how to be, I've turned myself inside out and I don't know anymore how to attract a kind of intimacy to myself that I want. Or even if you're in relationship and you seem to be losing it, you seem to be losing that spark, I think my guest today will have some light to shed on what you could possibly do to spark things again in your life, at least personally within yourself. So without further ado, I want to introduce her. Reverend Goddess Charmaine is an interfaith minister. She specializes in goddess and tantric philosophy. Her mission is to heal the split between the divine feminine and the sacred masculine within ourselves, and then in our relationships with others and all of life. She has unique methods and gifts, and Reverend Goddess Charmaine is no stranger to this show. She's been on this show before, but today she's in some special places with herself, and I felt it really necessary to invite her back. So welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have you back. And I just have noticed lately that you've had some new excitement in your life, some new spirit in your life. And I want you to share with people how it is that you get to be so happy and in such a wonderful, hot, juicy relationship. And we can start anywhere. Like, what did you do to prepare yourself? I guess first I want to know, how did you prepare yourself to be in a hot, juicy relationship, the one of your dreams?
Oh, yes. Well, first, just to hear you say hot and juicy, my whole body just started tingling all over. And I just I can't even tell you how, I cannot even hide my light. So it just is amazing when we can find our balance, our partner, our oneness. And it's happened in my life, and I truly believe it's been my path and my faith that has put me in alignment to us finding each other.
So it's relatively new then, this relationship. I mean, I know I've been following you on Facebook, and I've been turned on. And I think I told you when I contacted you that I saw that you and your partner were going to Florida, like Miami Beach or something, for a vacation, and you wrote something like, I don't know if we'll ever make it out of the room. And I thought, I liked that. I commented on that. I said, this is so I was so excited for you.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, we met July 21st last summer. And
wow.
We're planning our wedding for July 21st this summer.
Wow.
We got engaged last week, February 13th.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
The proposal was just the way a sacred masculine man would do it.
Really? Well, tell us. Don't keep us in the dark about
Christmas,
that.
Christmas, we had our first Christmas tree together, and we have a beautiful 11-foot tree, and she was just beautiful. And we thanked her for being in our house, and we loved her energy. And If I tell you everything that's gone on, it's just incredible. We had a wonderful Christmas together. And then, you know, you're supposed to throw the tree out and let the garbage collector collect the trees. We decided to hold on to the tree and do a burning ceremony in our fire pit in the backyard. So we held on to the tree. And we've done several fire burning rituals since we've been together. He's into that. So then I don't know anything else. So that's it. And so now I know that we were talking about getting married and stuff, but, you know, I can't do anything until I get the ring. So there's just some things in me that I'm just so female, you know, like I love my flowers and I want a wedding ring and everything.
Sure.
You know, that's just he's so amazing. Anyway, I'm freaking out a little bit, not knowing when this is going to go on. And I'm thinking maybe Valentine's Day, you know. So February 13th, I go to get my nails done and I do some other errands, and when I come home, he's like, oh, we're going to do the fire burning today. I said, great. So,
okay.
So in the backyard, and he already had the tree chopped up and had her in the fire pit. And then he says these intentions that he has for himself, for us, making himself even healthier than he is so that he can last for me. Keeping himself in alignment with what he wants to manifest in his life so that we have the exceptional lifestyle that we're maintaining, that we want to maintain and grow in. So he says these beautiful things to me, and then he sets the tree ablaze, and then she goes up like 35, 40 feet. I'm like, whoa, you know, I step back from the fire. And then we come back into the yard, and he says, now it's snow out, you know, over here in Jersey. He says, I'm going to get naked. You don't have to. I'm like, okay. So he takes off his clothes right there, barefoot in the snow. And then he pulls me to him to another part of the yard so I have this great view of our bushes and trees that are covered with snow. And he gets down on one knee, and he presents the ring and opens it. And then he says, Goddess, will you marry me?
Oh, my goodness. My heart is palpitating.
My God. And I got on my knees, and I hugged him, and I said, yes. And we're hugging, and we're kissing. And he's like, you know, after a few minutes, he's like, put the ring on. So I put on my 3.1 carat diamond.
Beautiful.
Yes. And we're just like, and then he goes and lays back in the sand and starts making the snow angels, you know. And I'm laughing. And then we get up and kiss, and we come back into the house, and it's been on. So now we're planning our wedding for July 21st. And
that is beautiful. So tell us, so that's a beautiful, I mean, that's a beautiful lead-in. Of course, you meant he lay down in the snow.
Yeah.
You said he laid in the sand.
Oh, sorry, he lay down in the snow.
But
he was in sand.
Tell us how did this come about, though? Like, you had to do work on yourself in order to make this attraction happen. He just didn't come out of air.
No, he came from what I consider the fourth dimension, but not from this reality. Can you connect with or even impact your reality from this reality? You need to go deep. And I truly, truly know that I started making changes 2-3 years ago, personally, ending relationships with men, going into choice celibacy to prepare myself for my sacred masculine, husband, partner, lover, friend. And I knew that the choices that I were making, I would ask myself the question, is this choice, and this is not even just about dating men, or this is about everything in my life, I would ask myself, is this choice or action in alignment with who I am and who I want to be?
Mm. So everything you did, you asked yourself that?
Yes. And that's what I call righteous judgment, because no one can judge what's happening in your life except you. And so I knew clearly what I deserved and what I desired and wanted in my life for myself and for those I'm in contact with. I want to be a blessing. And at the same time, I want a partner. I want my sacred husband, lover, partner, friend. And it's just that I wasn't being treated exceptionally well during these other years, dating men and that are flighty, ones want to be an overnight shaman and, you know, our spirituality and everything. It's like, how am I drawing these people into my life? What is the universe trying to show me? So I started really looking at these men and ending them. Then I had just a lover for a couple of years, and I ended that relationship. So I really believe first just looking at what was going on in my life that I already created and asking that question helped me to say, no, this is not in alignment. And they're not even treating you properly. You know, so I ended those relationships. Doing this.
And then you went into a chosen celibacy for how many?
5 months.
How many years?
No, 5 months.
5 months, okay.
5 months for me. And then I decided that I took on a young lover for a little while. I called him Richie Cunningham because I felt there were no ties to him since I knew we weren't going to create a future and I still wanted to have sex. Mm-hmm. So I was able to keep it so clean between us. We just enjoyed each other and flourished in each other's energies for a while that I didn't feel that it would block me from finding my partner, which was true because of the way
That's
I approached
good.
The whole thing.
Well, you know, you're raising an important point. I don't want to sidetrack you, but I definitely want to raise the point that I feel whether it's with someone else or with self, I really feel that keeping the sexual energy burning, keeping the fires inside burning, are also really important to keep oneself juicy. And to, whether it's, you know, creating sex magic or setting intentions with sex, being really clean with someone or clean with self, I think those things are really important. I don't like when people choose to sort of not touch themselves or, you know, turn their sex off altogether. I think that's the primary creation.
Yes, I agree. And when I was in choice celibacy, let me be clear that it was just about not having sex with men that weren't deserving of me. I was always in self-love.
Okay, that's great. I really want people to hear that, which is why I stopped you for a minute, because I feel that's critical for people to hear that. They need to keep doing self-love. People need that self-love. That's part of the magic.
And I created a great ritual that I did that also supports my energy field being able to connect with this partner, because in my self-love, I would masturbate until a point where I feel like I'm close to coming. But stop. I wouldn't come, and I would just raise my hands from my yoni and bring it up into my heart and bring the energy into my heart center. And then I would let myself, you know, visualize what I wanted.
Yes, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, you do that 2 or 3 times, just because every time you stop yourself from orgasming and then you just travel. I would squeeze my PC muscle, and sometimes I have to hold my knees tight so I wouldn't come. It would go up into my heart, and it would just crawl up my back and into my heart center, and I'm connecting sex center to heart, and then I'm visualizing what I want in my life, my sacred masculine, husband, lover, partner, friend.
Beautiful.
And then I would allow myself to have the orgasm and just be in that bubble and just listen to the orgasm, feel it, and ask it, what does it want me to know? What do I need to continue taking care of my body to attract and connect with my husband, lover, partner, friend? She would tell me, show your pussy. The pussy should be my yoni in the sky. How am I taking care of my pussy? Connecting it to my heart is how I started to take care of it. But it was very clear to me that even with doing all the work and being goddess for over 20 years, we still as women go through a lot. And sometimes even more because of the energy work, the knowledge that we have.
Well, I'm actually going to stop you right there because we need to take a break.
Yes.
And I think when we come back in just a couple of minutes, I want to pick up right there and have you speak about what women go through and what they need to go through in order to image what they be clear about what they actually want. Just where you were going.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Yes. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I am thrilled today. I have Reverend Goddess Charmaine with me, and she's amazing as a manifester. She really is amazing. She's being very, very clear. She did use the term before, yoni, and some of you don't know what that means. That's another word for a vagina or a vulva. It's female genitalia in Sanskrit. It means sacred cave or womb. So I just wanted to clarify that. And when we come back, she's going to talk about some more about what women go through and how we need to be clear with ourselves and lavish our own selves, connecting our own dots so that we can attract into our life what we want. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life? Get the best from relationships? attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Lori Handlers, and today my guest is Reverend Goddess Charmaine, and she is telling us about this amazing love that she attracted into her life and her own personal journey and ceremonies that she did with herself, sacred ceremonies that had her get clear about the whole dating scene, having sex scene, etc., and how she attracted into her life, actually the love of her life, a sacred masculine man who is amazing. And I've been following her juicy hot stories on Facebook. I mean, we know each other. It's not like I was just following her, like watching from afar. I've been excited for her and watching what's going on in her life. And I wanted her to share that with you. So when we left off, we were just talking about what what women go through.
Yeah.
Charmaine, and maybe you could say a little bit more about that and how you broke that cycle in yourself.
Okay. Well, just for, in general, as a woman, you know, I looked at the kind of relationships I was having or experiencing with men, and then looked at the women in my family and what their relationships were like. So I started just breaking programming and getting into DNA programming and choosing not to be in relationship like that. And that went on for a while. But really talking just specifically, I believe that what's most important for even men looking for their partner and even same-sex relationships, it really is just about consciousness. And the first thing I believe is we need to look at our life and accept our lives for where we are in this moment.
Great.
And then ask yourself the question, is my lifestyle in alignment with who I am and who I want to be? So first, I believe in acceptance. So acceptance goes into, okay, this is it. You know, because when we get into looking at what's wrong, and, you know, we can't really ask ourselves, we're so busy with what's wrong, sometimes it's coming from more ego-based rather than the soul even speaking.
Mm-hmm.
First, just get into, this is my life. Okay, what is my life? Write it down. What's my lifestyle? You know, now, is this in alignment with who I am and who I want to be? That means, does this action and these people and this thing in my life, does it serve me or does it no longer serve me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then that's a great place. And then I believe we get into what we call acts of power, to remove, to release what no longer serves us, people, things, consciousness. And then you get into the place where you can evolve and grow and extend your energy field. And I specifically did it through meditation, actively releasing men specifically that no longer served me, and releasing women that weren't in a sisterhood consciousness, and limiting my time around women that were not in sisterhood consciousness, but yet I still had to be around them from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Sisterhood consciousness is where, you know, women are supporting each other, loving each other, honoring each other, and celebrating each other's life for whatever you have. You do not
Beautiful.
Do envy, have jealousy, or want to take anything from someone else that you witness. And then from doing that, my sex ritual, which I call self-loving, stop-start to the heart. That helped me to get really connected to my body, spirit, gaining somewhat of what I call control, where I was able to move the orgasm into my heart before I chose to release and have the orgasm so that I could cultivate energy, a a vibration in my sexual energy so I could fantasize and have that tingling sensation in my body, because energy and consciousness expand on vibration. So if I can fantasize about what I want and have a felt sense, orgasmic sensation with it, the body and consciousness thinks it's real.
Exactly.
So then when you can do that and you keep your consciousness in alignment and your actions in alignment with what you want to manifest, your body feels like you already have it. Mm-hmm. So then you can line up with others that are vibrating at that same frequency. So I would do that by the self-love, stop to the heart, as often as I want, probably every day. In addition, in my meditation, I would pray, meditate in my source point, mostly in my belly, where I believe the divine goddess, the divine feminine exists in me. Some people may feel it in their heart. Some people feel it all over. I feel a strong felt sense in my belly, my second chakra. Uh-huh. I pray there, I feel there, and then I just expand my energy, my physical body energy, my spiritual body, my light body, my soul body. And I just really just resonate with that. Then I go deep into that those bodies, and I feel that I no longer am even in this reality. I go deep into my body consciousness, and then I say, I am intending to merge with this energy of my sacred masculine, husband, lover, partner, friend. And I would just say that and then hold that energy, and I would sense the energy of my sacred masculine, husband, lover, partner, friend. And I do that every single day. It takes me about 15 minutes with the meditation, and I did it for months. And I actually learned that four bodies technique from Kenneth Ray Stubbs in my shamanic tantra course we did out of my house. And it just reinforced everything else that I had been doing up until that point with my self-love, stop to the heart, removing things out of my life physically that no longer served, developing the consciousness of seeing myself as goddess with my sacred masculine husband, and then going to the four bodies and into a deep space. I felt that I was in the fourth dimension using my shamanic ability to connect with him. Now, I had no idea.
Wait a second. I just want to stop you for a second because I want to say this. I just want to summarize this for a minute in different terms, because just in case somebody's listening and they never, you know, I doubt that anyone could be listening to the show and they never heard of Tantra before, because we talk about it all the time. However, just in case, I want to just rephrase a little bit. In case you're completely puzzled by what Charmaine is saying here, she's really speaking about cleaning house. She's really speaking about cleaning up every kind of thing in her life, every relationship, everything, the women in her life, the men in her life, the thoughts she's having. She's talking about doing a complete cleaning of self, body, mind, and spirit, and then setting her energies, her sacred sexual energies, to work on what it is she wants. But first, she cleared out all the gunk. It's kind of like having a complete overhaul or an oil change or what have you. And it's not difficult. As you listen to her and you wonder, could I do this? Just hear in it that it's so simple. And it took her 15 minutes a day. It didn't take her thousands of years. It took her months. You can do this. I just want to underline that you can do this. Sorry to interrupt you, but I really wanted to let people know as they follow along. I want them to know I can do this.
Yes, it's so true, because I've already shared this information with so many other people, Lori. And I have been getting so many emails and Facebook comments about this actual practice. So I'm not speaking from some fantasy, just from what I've experienced. It's passed around. It's the universal truth. So truth will demonstrate itself in your life. And doing this, eventually, April, May, June, July, I'm doing this. And then one day, this man, even before I physically met him, I started having dreams of a man in my bed and his long white legs hanging off the bed, not seeing a face. But when I was doing the meditation, I wasn't visualizing a type of man physically. I was resonating with the energy. So I would recognize the energy when I met the person.
Exactly.
Yeah, because, you know, so...
The funny thing about this life of sacred sexuality that you're in and that I'm in, we can never go with an image. Like, it's not an image. It really is an energy. When an energy walks in the door,
yes,
or walks up to us, it's up to us to recognize, this is that energy I've been connecting with, and the energy... The actual physicality of the person may look nothing like any image that we've ever held.
Yes. Oh, yes. Of course. But you don't want to get stuck with just the image anyway, because then that's where we deaden the other senses.
Exactly.
So, I mean, energy is the source point. So one day, I'm doing this amazing workshop called Anima Animus, The Sacred Journey to the self-love journey to the sacred marriage within, last July 21st. And as the people are coming in, and I was doing this workshop out of my home in Jersey, and this doorbell rings, and I open the door, and this guy is leaning against my house. He's like, he throws his head up, his hair swings, he goes, "I'm here for the workshop." I'm like, "Okay, sure, come on in." And he walks in, and when he walks past me, I get this woof. I said, "Oh my. What? Lord have all the mercy." And he came into the workshop. I was like, "Oh my God. I mean, he's amazing. So I have to be cool. I have a workshop to run." And we have an amazing workshop, everyone there. And I'm being very cool, but I feel this feeling with him when I look at him, and there's this glow around him, this glow around me. I can't tell you. So I know it's him, but I'm cool. So, So after the workshop, he leaves, and the next day he sends me a private email, very nice email, asking for a private session. I'm like, okay. So wow, he wrote. Okay. So I schedule the session. And then when he comes for the session, we're partway into the session, and there's no way. It's very hard. There's just all this stuff going on between us, and the talking, and then the body work, that he just stops the session. And he says, "Can I hug you?" And I said, "Well, the session's going to end. We need to end the session because this session." And he says, "Why?" He said, "Because of actions." I said, "Yeah, because of our actions." Mm-hmm. And then he hugged me. He kissed my neck, and that was it. And then we stopped, and then we just talked a little bit. I didn't know. I felt so fucked up. I felt so like I was going to faint. And we just talked a little bit, and I kind of coolly say, next week we're going to Sandy Hook to the nude beach. Would you like to go? He's like, "Sure, I'd like to go." So, all right, so then he walks out of the house, and I remember when he was walking away, he turns to look at me, and there's a smile on his face. I'm like, "Oh, I'm done." And then he said, when he turned away and looked at me, he said he knew in his soul that we were going to be together. And then that was it. Then after that, within an hour, I was just walking around with my cell phone in my hand, waiting to text him. Like, should I do it now? Should I wait till later? What should I show? I texted him, and then we've been together ever since.
It's beautiful. It's wonderful. He just walked right in your door.
Yeah, it made it easy. Thank God.
Beautiful. Well, let us tell people how to get in touch with you, because we're almost at the bottom of our time. So how can people get in touch with you and learn more about this process that you're doing and the workshops that you do?
Yeah.
And like that, because I love this story. I'm in love with you right now. I'm in love with him.
he's really amazing, and he does the work too. He has his own story to how he ended up at the door, you know. So I am sensuousmystic.com, sensuousmystic.com, and my email is sensuousmystic@gmail.com. I have ongoing services, second Sunday service, and clothing optional, naked church once a month, and So people can see my groups, they can buy my books, get my CDs, hear other interviews. And this is just what I do, you know, continuing to expand and do seminars and groups and services. Naked Church and Clothes On Church, just keeping it real, you know.
Yeah, and you have to be in the Jersey area, New York, New Jersey, greater area.
Yes.
Yeah, but someone visiting could come? Like it doesn't, you know, somebody could visit your church?
Of course, always. We have people flying up from different parts of the world, and they tend to plan their trips around when we're holding Naked Church services or a Second Sunday service so that they can come.
That's beautiful. Well, Reverend Goddess Charmaine, as always, it is a pleasure to talk with you. I have a smile on my face. I hope everybody listening has a smile on their face because you are one amazing goddess. You really are, and I'm so happy for you.
Thank you, Lori, for honoring my relationship. I really appreciate it, especially you being the classy lady that you are and the goddess that you are. It means a lot.
Well, I need to tell you, it's been a secret, but I need to tell you that your story is very similar to a story that's going on in my life right now.
I love it.
But more about that later. I promise I will share with you. Actually, I will share with you when I'm coming to the East Coast.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And everybody out there, stay tuned because I have another amazing guest coming up for you in the second part of the show.
I'll be speaking to Jade Beatty about how she uses horses in sexual healing.
This is Laurie Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness. Please stay tuned. Right now, you're going to hear about Zestra. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Eroticos Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate Dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert, and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating in this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends. And I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers. So your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com.
Well, we're back, everybody, with Sex and Happiness, and hopefully this show is adding to your sex and happiness. That, of course, is always my commitment to you. And this part of the show, we're going to be talking about
equine facilitated healing. That's using horses to heal trauma.
And my guest today in this part of the show is Jade Sadie. And Jade's healing journey led her to sacred sexuality in the year 2000. With a foundation of spiritual study, trainings, and life experiences, her practice as an intimacy consultant continues to evolve. Jade's background includes prison work and service as a hospital chaplain. She's currently adding equine facilitated healing to her offerings for her clients. So that's horses, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't think I've ever interviewed an equine facilitator before.
So
welcome to the show, Jade. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Laurie. I really appreciate the opportunity to visit with you.
Yeah, good. And so we're going to talk about sacred sex as a path of healing and spiritual evolution. But now, since we mentioned horses, please bear with me. I have to know. I don't want to be sitting at the edge of my chair wondering for the next 30 minutes what you're doing with horses. I got to know how you're evolving your sacred sexuality work and / spirituality work into working with horses. Like, how is that? How are you doing that?
Oh, thank you. I am so much a horsewoman, and I had an experience a few years ago where I was talking to a woman about using her horse as a program horse for therapy and to assist in sexual wounding, and she somehow heard me say that I was going to have sex with her horse. So we want to be sure that's clear, that I do not have sex with horses. I've been in love with a stallion or two, but I have cultivated some theory about how horses help both sexual wounding and war trauma. Because of who they are as a society, a herd, as well as the fact that they are prey and not predators. So there's a lot of symbology in how horses operate that relates to how to build safe relationships, how to protect the very young and the very old in a natural herd. Horses surround the vulnerable ones as they graze. The social structure is that there's one stallion and a number of mares, and there's usually a wise older mare that's called the lookout mare, or the mare that is in charge, really, of the social hierarchy. So every animal in a herd understands its place in the herd and organizes in a way that keeps everyone within the herd safe. So as the colts, the male foals, grow up, they challenge the dominant stallion. And if they lose, which is typical until the stallion gets old or seriously injured, you know, then they will actually kind of become a renegade stallion, and they'll snatch some fillies. So they'll go start their own herd, and that's how the herds evolve. So another thing about horses is their hypervigilance, and if you work with sexual trauma, you see a lot of people who have childhood sexual abuse that becomes obsessive compulsive behavior in adulthood or teens. And this is because, especially with incest, if the perpetrator was in the home, the child begins to pay exquisite attention to signals about whether or not it's safe. And if there's alcohol involved, that's always, you know, a red flag for the child that there's a dangerous situation. So this hypervigilance in the animal, in horses, is about constantly scanning the environment. And that's why horses are dangerous. That's one reason, because they have a startle. And startle is also something wired into sexual trauma and war trauma, obviously. PTSD, even, we could say that. And so when you get to take a client out to a herd, it's a really interesting process because, you know, it's still hard to imagine how you're going to heal sexual wounding by being around horses. And I want to say a little bit about my own experience, which
Wait, I got to stop you for a second.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
Sure.
This is amazing what we're talking about here.
Yeah, I know.
And this is the whole thing I want to talk about. This is so fresh. This is so new. I'm sure other people are working with horses in other ways, but what you are talking about, how you're working with horses, with trauma victims, especially sexual abuse and possibly alcohol abuse involved as well, and bringing people to horses. This is groundbreaking. So this is where I want to focus.
I'm so
excited about what you're talking about.
I cannot tell you.
I cannot tell you. Please continue. I just want to let you know that I'm happy if we talk about nothing else. But
great.
I'm like a happy camper.
Yep, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for
you're welcome.
Letting me know I'm on a good path here.
Yeah, you're on a great path. You're on a roll. So you take people. You were talking about when I stopped you. You were talking about taking people out to meet a herd.
Yes, but first I want to just share a little bit about my own experience with horses. I had a little French grandmother who raised 6 children on the plains of Oklahoma, and she was known as a whisperer. She would never have used that phrase. That's kind of new. But she would take care of horses who were problem animals. She would tame them and send them back to their owners. And she taught me my love of horses. She died when I was 7. And there's all kinds of crazy family stories about me and horses. Like every time it was my birthday or Christmas, all I wanted was a horse. Just give me a horse. I don't want anything else. And when I turned 10, I got to have my first horse, and I had them until I turned 17 and was a young mother. So I sold my horses to pay for my baby and my wedding rings, actually. So my history with horses is not that I have spent a ton of time with them other than in bits and pieces. And my daughter had horses from age 10 until her second year of college. And what happens to me around horses, and a lot of people, once you know you're fairly safe and there is this always potential of being hurt around a horse, and I certainly lay a groundwork of safety before I take people out if they've never been around horses, especially. And many people are afraid of horses just because they're big and unknown. And that's also an analogy for our sexual energy. So
yes.
Precisely.
It's big and it's unknown. It can take you anywhere.
It can take you anywhere, and you have to learn to ride it and partner it, not try to beat it into submission or control it somehow, right?
Right.
So I I kind of discovered the equine therapy field as it evolved. It's fairly new, and a book that started it off is called The Tao, T-A-O, of Equus or Equus. I never know how to pronounce it. I'm from Texas, so I have all these weird pronunciations. But it's by a woman named Linda Kahonov, K-O-H-A-N-O-V. She was a psychotherapist that burned out and spent a year with her herd of horses and healed. And she kind of laid the foundation for the whole emergence of equine-assisted psychotherapy. I don't know of anybody that's doing it specifically for sexual wounding. I know there are people experimenting now with PTSD in our veterans. So, yeah, as a teen, had these amazing rides, bareback, full gallop, 4 miles in the Texas Panhandle on one of my horses that I was so in love with. I would have married him if he were a man, you know. And it was so liberating to just ride like that in partnership with an animal that is doing its best to keep you on its back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of this came together for me after years of my sexual healing practice, and I've finally found my herd in a stable about, I don't know, 10 or 15 miles from where I live. And so I'm bringing this part into my practice, and it's also very healing for me. I started to say the minute I walk onto a horse facility, my body starts to relax. My shoulders drop. I start feeling grounded and safe and comfortable. And that is because I've cultivated safety around horses by staying vigilant to what they're doing. So you have to learn what horses do, the signals they give. For instance, if a horse flattens its ears and shows its teeth, it's giving you a warning, right? And you don't want to get near its mouth. All that stuff, you know, you learn it. But there's all these beautiful analogies for first warning on a boundary, you know, or I'm having a bad day, back off, you know. So it's just fascinating. You walk out there, and let's say I've taken a client that's never been around a horse, and I've laid the foundation by basically talking about what I'm talking about now. And then in an ideal situation, there might be a corral with 3 or 4 possible animals to work with, program horses. And I talk about attraction, repulsion, or indifference. And I invite my client to just observe the animals for a bit and see if there's any animal they're attracted to, repulsed by, or just don't even, you know, really notice or care about. And that way, the animal is brought into the interaction from one of those energies. And it's
I just need to stop you here for a second because, one, I have a question, and, two, we need to take a break.
Already?
So
okay.
There was something you mentioned. A program animal. Mm-hmm. Before we go to break, please give me a definition for program animal. We'll give us a definition.
They're a horse that is involved with equine psychotherapy, but there are also natural healers in the horse realm. Mm-hmm. I believe that horses are actually here to help us heal our human hearts. They're supportive and desiring that we all come into our hearts so that we're not abusive or brutal with them or anyone else.
And some people think this is what dolphins do.
Dolphins, too, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think they're more evolved animals. And, of course, there's cowboys that will say horses aren't very smart. You need to beat them to get their attention, you know. Yeah, we can take a break and come back to that.
All right, so thank you so much. If you have just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Hamlers, and I am talking with Jade Beatty, and she's talking about equine practice, like equine facilitated healing, which means working with horses to heal sexual trauma. And this is new slant in the world of sacred sexuality as far as I'm concerned. Perhaps it's out there. Perhaps you all are more brilliant and advanced than I am and you've heard about it before, but if you're like me, this is a first. It's certainly a first on the show Sex and Happiness. So this is exciting. I can't wait to come back and hear more. So I hope you're feeling the same way. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
We're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Lori Handlers, your host, and today I am talking with Jade Beatty, who has had her own healing journey. She started studying sacred sexuality in the year 2000. She's had spiritual study and lots of training and life experiences, and she told us a bunch of those in the first part of the show where she was talking about growing up, always wanting horses, riding horses, and feeling free riding bareback. This is experiences that I, by the way, as a New Yorker, a New York, Brooklyn, Long Island girl, really have never had, but always thought about having, fantasized about having. And I want to talk to you also about the show Equus, if you ever saw it or heard it. But I'm really turned on and excited interviewing you because this, to me, makes a lot of sense and it's a desire that I have. So, Jade, tell us more. You were talking about how you take people in and they feel attraction or repulsion from certain horses and they get signals. Please take us further.
Sure. I really want to just say that I have come to believe that horses are innate and intuitive healers for humans. And I did mention that immediate relaxation because horses are always in the present moment unless it's close to a meal time, and then they start anticipating food. But other than that, they're the most grounded animals I've ever been around unless they're afraid. And they have survival skills that are just fascinating to me in a natural herd, which, of course, also show up in domesticated animals. So it's just amazing how they show us so much about boundaries and safety and creating a container. There's so many beautiful symbologies in horses and humans. And horse people know this, and, you know, I probably articulate it in a different way because of my desire to bring horses into the sexual healing piece. And so back to our imaginary session with someone, they've maybe identified a horse that typically people want to hang out with the horse they're attracted to, not the one they're repulsed by. That might be another time that we look at what's that about, you know. So I don't put people on horses. I'm not a riding instructor at all, and it's safer to stay on the ground, obviously. So we would capture the animal, which I might just hand someone a halter with a lead rope and let them go see if they can figure out how to halter the horse. Now, the horse immediately starts mirroring the human. So if the human is tentative and a little afraid, that horse feels that and becomes tentative and a little afraid. So it will perhaps not be as easy to capture than if it were someone who's confident with horses and just knows they can walk right up and put that lead rope around the horse's neck and the horse knows it's caught. So you start observing as the practitioner how people are interacting with the horse and what the horse is reflecting back. So if someone is trying to cover up anger or frustration or resentment about something, the horse will start to mirror those feelings in a way that can escalate the difficulty with the animal. Does that make sense?
Very interesting. Very interesting. And then what? So then what happens? I mean, I hate rushing to it, but I want to know, like, you're looking at that and then you have a conversation afterwards or what? I mean,
you
then what happens?
You ask such good questions, and I love it that you said racing to that, because we are in such a hurry to get a result, to make things happen. And horses teach us that the magic is in present moment. That if we are grounded and aware and mindful of what we're feeling and the horse helping reflect it, then we come into this amazing zone that Tantra also cultivates. And I know you've experienced that zone, Laurie. So
oh, yeah.
it's almost like it's gestalt. And, you know, that word, maybe not everyone will know that word, but it's about what arises in the moment and how it reflects who we are and where we're at in that moment in our spiritual evolution. That's kind of big, but that's how I frame it. And there is a organization called the Gestalt Equine Institute in Golden, Colorado. I was able to take a couple of quarters of their training, and it was just fabulous. It's a great training and not as expensive as a lot of them. So let's go back to that imaginary client again. The facilitator is observing behaviors of both the horse and the human. And sometimes it's good to step in with a little bit of, are you noticing how the horse is acting? And what do you think that's about? Or,
so
there's dialogue.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to know. Are you, you just answered my question, you know, the question I was about racing.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know, are you talking to them at that time? Are you, you know, how are you interacting? Are you just observing, or are you talking to them? That was what I was curious to know. You, you're actually talking to them and asking, you might be asking them, are you noticing how the horse is interacting with you?
Yes.
Okay.
So what happens once the animal's captured, we usually do some grooming, which horses love. And so that's about taking them and tying them up and having grooming tools. And horses need their feet cleaned out, their hoofs. So there's a place where I get to watch fear again, and that's healthy. It's a respect of the animal's feet, because feet are primary to horses, as you can imagine. And, you know, the old thing, if the horse has a broken leg, you shoot it. So some horses are more cooperative than others, just naturally, or they've been handled more. And how people approach this task of getting the horse to give them their foot is another symbology for, like, enrollment and being forceful or consistent enough to convince the animal that they're serious, right?
Mm-hmm. Or actually, it could also be something like, I mean, when you said about the horse's feet, I imagined worshiping the goddess. I imagined the respect of having that kind of respect for the feet of a living being.
Oh, yeah. Some of these mares are so sweet, and they've been through so much. Some of them have just been bred over and over, which is okay if it's a brood mare and she's well treated. But, you know, a lot of bad things happen to horses, and yet they're still willing. They're still willing to participate with us. Yeah, that's something.
That in itself is a miracle. Yeah,
it is.
I understand.
They've partnered with humans for a very long time, and they don't have to. You know, and it's sad that occasionally you'll meet an animal that was broken and beaten into submission, and, you know, the cowboys are still good at that, and yet if you take an animal off the range now, they're not violent. They only become violent when they're mishandled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're going to be strong, and they're testing boundaries, and they're trying to figure out what's going on around them, but they're not dangerous any more so than any other horse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a fascinating deal. So with grooming, and then I like to do hand grazing, and this is another opportunity to help people see how they interact with the horse and with humans. For instance, if you're just walking a horse and they see grass, they're going to jerk you over there to it, unless they know that you are strong enough to keep them in lead.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, noticing that for someone and then helping them know how to engage the horse, not getting in front of it and trying to drag it, but walking beside it and having the intention of moving forward to a certain location. This is a whole different thing than trying to drag it, right? And that's an analogy for relationships and especially couples work.
Jade, I love this. I just love this. I'm so in awe. I'm almost not even talking to you. I'm just listening like a little kid that somebody's reading a bedtime story to. This is such exciting stuff.
Thank you for me that you're talking about.
It's just, now I want to ask you this. I just have to. Did you ever see the play Equus? Or the movie was terrible.
I have not seen either the play or the movie. I do know of it.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, I mean, part of it is shocking. We won't go into it then if you didn't see it. I would never recommend you see the movie. It was hard. But I do recommend if you ever get the chance to see the play that you see it. It has such psychological and trauma and all kinds of things, implications, although mm-hmm. there's some parts of it that you'll find shocking. We won't go there since you haven't seen it, but mm-hmm. It's everything you're talking about has fascinating implications to me because it was such a powerful, impactful story.
I'm excited.
I'm just excited by what you're doing. We're kind of rounding to the near the end of our time together.
Mm-hmm.
So I want people to know how they can get in touch with you, how they can find out how they can come to see you and participate in a program like what you're doing. Do you have, like, even if somebody was not in your area,
mm-hmm.
what if they flew out and they wanted to be with you and participate in a program, that kind of thing? Can you do short?
Yes. I would call that an immersion, and it could be arranged. And we'd spend a lot of time with the horses, actually. This is new to my practice, so I'm still working on practitioner's insurance and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not quite set. They can read about my work and my background at sensualwisdom.com. And I have all of my sites are stale because I think I wrote you that I started college for the first time ever at 59. And
congratulations.
Thank you. I had a great school, Naropa in Boulder. And so my work went away because I just couldn't figure out how to work and go to school full time. But I'm off this semester, so I'm rebuilding some marketing things and adding this horse piece. And so I do have another site called horsewisdomranch.com. And that's kind of my dream. It's just an idea so far, but I hope to move toward it. And it will be a healing center that includes equine therapy for trauma, especially war and sexual trauma. Yeah.
Wow. Well, Jade, thank you so much for being my guest today. It was exciting for me to hear about where you're going. And I, for one, am intending for your dream to become a reality.
Mm-hmm.
As I am for everybody that's listening to this show, I am always intending for your dreams to become your reality. And I know that if you engage your sexual energy and actually get untraumatized, as what we're talking about, and mm-hmm. engage yourself fully, like Jade was talking about riding a horse bareback, I know that you will actually manifest your dreams. And that's the whole purpose of doing this show.
Wow, so, Jade, thank you, Lori.
Yeah, thank you so much for being my guest today. It is my pleasure to speak with you, and I will certainly be in touch with you and keep posted on what you're doing and how you're coming along, because this is extraordinary, extraordinary
oh,
work
thank you.
Working with horses and trauma. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Everybody out there, please tune in next time when I will be talking with somebody about how women can use dressing sexy, feeling sexy, embodying sexy to transform areas, all areas of your life. And whether you're a woman or a man, I think you want to know about this, because everyone wants to feel at their best, but also wants to know how they can transform things just by playing. So please tune in to Sex and Happiness next time. That's what we'll be talking about. This is Lori Hamler signing off.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to know.